Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. I guess I'll set this. I know water and wood doesn't normally work together, but thank you. All right, thank you. That spot right there?
That works right.
Right there. Okay, that spot. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Typically, I'm from Baltimore, so we'll handle it this way. We're going to do it the Baltimore way today. Is that all right? All right. So typically when I say praise the Lord, people will say praise the Lord. As if I say repeat what I just said. Praise the Lord, everyone. That's praise God. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's good to be here. And the Seattle, Washington area. I'm not even going to. I thought it was called one thing. Found out today it was another. And then just in case the bishop has it wrong, I'm just going to say I'm glad to be here. My wife and I as well. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have her to come up here and greet you. But I would like to greet you in the Lord. And it's good to see Brother Mark. He came to pay us a visit. The bishop sent the spies out. Spy out the land of the Washington, Maryland area. No, just kidding. But obviously, we've been knowing Brother Bishop Schoonover for, I guess, maybe 10 years or so now, and I can't recall. But anyway, we really felt led of God to be here this span. We tried to do this a couple of years ago, and it just didn't pan out that way. But God has a purpose and a reason. I do have something I would like to communicate. Brother, I don't know your name, but your face looks very familiar. I guess I've seen you Joel. Okay, that's what it is. I know you mentioned, but, you know, stuff goes in and goes out too much. I try to retain it, you know, but it's just so hard. Amen. But I really feel God has something that he desires to communicate, and it's God's will to have congregations and bodies of Christ to hear someone come from other places so you'll know that your bishop, your leaders are not just, not that you would think that, but you know, throughout all the churches, that they're not just communicating something from just head knowledge. And a lot of times, it seems that God would send someone from somewhere else just to communicate to you through the Spirit what has been communicated on a weekly, regular basis over the pulpit. And sometimes it's very, and this is preliminary, I'm going to try to get this out of the way really quickly. But sometimes as a preacher, you can look at a particular place and think, well, no, this isn't for them. And so I'm going to preface anything else I'm going to do to say, from the onset, as soon as I pulled up at the airport, or as soon as you pulled up to pick me up, it was like, no, this can't be what God would have communicated. How many believe that God is in control?
Oh, yes.
That it's the Spirit of God that is speaking and in to the church through men of God. I believe that God is in control. God has a plan. Nothing is accidental or coincidental. And we just need to be in tune with what the voice of the Lord is communicating. And I fully and wholeheartedly believe that. I'm going to ask my wife to come up and greet you. She and I has been married for a long, very long time. but it only seems like yesterday. Amen. So I'm going to have her come up.
Praise God. You notice he didn't say the number of years because he didn't want to get in trouble. awesome. It is an honor to be here. I do believe, as my husband said, that we are in the will of God. There is a ministering spirit that's already in this place. I don't know if you feel that, but almost as soon as I came through the door, and I will be honest with you, this particular meeting has been prefaced with a lot of prayer. And I am going to share something very specific, but we knew coming in the spirit that would be here tonight, and I thank God for that. It was July 4th, actually, very easy date to remember for obvious reasons. And ever since we confirmed coming here, started putting these series of meetings before the Lord in prayer and just wanting him to have his way, just presenting things before the Lord. And out of nowhere, and I'll be honest with you, to my surprise, there was this heaviness that came over me that I couldn't shake. I don't think, but I could be wrong, that it's more than one person, but I just kind of felt that it was one person in particular that the Lord was having me to pray for. The best way I know how to describe it to you is just this heaviness, just this burden that I could not shake it. I became so concerned in my spirit that I sought the Lord for specifics. And as you know, God is not a tattletale, so sometimes he doesn't reveal everything. And he didn't give me specifics, but I needed to know this. I said, well, God, wait a minute. Are we talking about somebody that's getting ready to leave you or your body? Are we talking about somebody that's on the outskirts, close to being backslidden? Are we talking to somebody who's fallen into sin? I asked for specifics, and I didn't feel like it was any of that. I just felt like that there were some cares of this life that had overcome someone, and that you were just needing, not that your faith was failing, not that you weren't still trusting God, not that you were on your way out the door, but you just need something from God. I've been sitting up here continuing to pray again. That same heaviness came back when we went to our hotel room. And let me digress here for a second and say, you've been the host with the most today. A lot of times that falls on the wife, but you've just done a fine job, and I thank you for that. So just even though we've gained 3 hours, and it's normally easiest when you come over, it's hard as going back when you lose 3 hours. We were a little bit worn, so I really expected to lay down and maybe take a quick nap, but I couldn't sleep. And again, that same heaviness came back, and I just began to meditate before the Lord and say, God, I don't know who. And maybe it is more than one person who you're trying to reach. And maybe in this short discourse, you know exactly who you are. And I just want you to know that God doesn't miss anything. He knows all things. And he cares about you so much that he had this little old lady across all the way on the other side of the coast praying for you these past weeks. And I believe that God is going to have his way here tonight. I believe he has a very special word for not just you, but for all of us. And that whatever that thing is that has weighed you down, that it's going to lift tonight. And that God is going to propel us all forward. And that we're going to go to a different place. And I say we because we're in this together. I know that, you know, this is your bishop, but I mean, I feel like we're at home, to be honest with you. So I think we're going to be propelled into a different place. So I just ask that the Lord would give us ears to hear, a heart of good ground, that he would remove every distraction, and that he would have his way. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Hey, hallelujah. Why don't we begin to pray one more time? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we pray that your anointing would sweep over this house today. God, that it would move in our lives, in our hearts, oh God, in our ears, in our spirit, in our heart, Lord. That your perfect will would be done here tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shikorahatanda lalolobo sata bahaya. Randa lalobo shikiando. Mando lalobo shata bahaya. shando lolobo shanda manda lolobo shanda lolobo sa shikiata lolobo shaya. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I do know that you have it's a great spirit here. It's not just flattery or whatever. To be honest, I won't say what I don't feel. I'm sorry, that's just the way I am. I don't really believe in a lot of preliminaries and or whatever. I don't want to make anything up or whatever because I have to answer to God. I know you have great teaching. I can just feel that. I can sense that. I don't really don't talk with bishops going over a whole lot, so I don't really know background history of the church, and I like it that way, to be honest. So I know that, and so I stand here understanding that I'm not coming here to communicate some new thought or whatever, just a reminder, if you will. But I do believe there is a message and quite honestly, a theme in which the Lord has dropped into my spirit and that he desires to communicate so we can move on to the places that God would have us to go in. Amen. So how many is willing to do that? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And I can tell also I can see that your bishop has, you know, when you go to Antioch, I'm from Antioch, the Apostolic Church in all of Maryland. I don't know how familiar you are with that. But we have been, I don't want to say conditioned is probably probably a negative word, can be taken the wrong way. But we have become sensitive to discerning ministry, trying to be safe. And unfortunately, sometimes we can do this and do that or whatever. But we want to make sure and understand, make sure that what we're hearing is from the Lord. And I can sense that this is a group of people that's it's not going to play around with the fluff. And that's fine. Amen. And I understand that this is a teaching type of session. What I asked the bishop, I said, you know, what is your typical? I think I said it was a typical, the word I used. Typical. I'm sorry. The norm, the typical, you know, format for Wednesdays or whatever. And, you know, the quick and dirty is, you know, you're pretty much an atypical church. Amen. I like atypical. Amen. A is for apostolic. Hey, the new lab, we're going to learn the alphabet in a different manner. Okay, but if you can put Genesis, Brother Mark, Genesis chapter 1, we had Mark up in Baltimore with us, and it was so great to have him with us in service, and he was like one of the family. As a young man ran around, I saw Mark going, and it was fabulous. So anyway, Genesis 1 and 1. And we are familiar with this verse of scripture. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form, meaning lying in waste or in desolation. Thank you. I can take my jacket off since 99.9% of you have your jackets off. Thank you. Amen. And so without form means lying in waste or desolation. That's the figurative, the literal definition. But figuratively, it means it was worthless and vanity and confusion and chaos. And this was the place that God designed his plan for you and I in this desolation, worthless place of vanity and confusion. And it was void, meaning full, empty, opposite of full, obviously, an indistinguishable ruin. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, And that word, I'd rather get the definitions out. You probably know them. Darkness. Get this. This is really, really deep. Darkness literally means dark. I know. Hold on. We're going to break that down. It was dark. It means night. Figuratively, it means wickedness, obscurity, sorrow, misery, and even destruction. And so God painting the picture here from the very onset, as soon as you open up the book, it doesn't look pretty. And so, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And so darkness exemplifies, as we know, it exemplifies that which is hidden and the unknown. Secrets are often, kept and hidden in the dark. You guys probably don't have to deal with this, but I live in Baltimore City. And if you go around Baltimore City long enough, you'll see cars with bumper stickers with a big rodent on the back. And so but it does. And why? Because inner cities like that have a problem. And but those things, thank God, only come out at night. Nasty things come out at night. It's just not a good thing. I'm trying to just paint a picture for you. And so, but along with this eeriness, wickedness of darkness, obscurity, if you will, also comes and it carries a connotation of sorrow and misery and hopelessness and even destruction, according to those definitions. And this particular darkness, as we find out, was accompanied with emptiness and sorrow and misery and undistinguishable ruin and chaos. It was just a complete mess. Amen. And that's where God began to create. Now, I'm going to preface everything else I'm going to mention or say by saying, first of all, that God, as we know, is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. Amen. He's the Father of lights. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Too many times, unfortunately, everyone out there and even the church, we begin to judge God and measure God based on our circumstances, based on the things that we're surrounded with, or those things that transpire in our lives. But it's really not a good thing. It's not a smart thing. Actually, it's a foolish thing to judge God by what man has to go through, by the conditions that I am currently in. And it may seem, we as apostolics and Pentecostals, we do a good job trying to make it look right. And how you doing, brother? Oh, I'm fine. How you doing, sister? Oh, praise God. I have one sister at the church. Every time I ask her, well, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Well, how are you? God is good. I didn't say anything about God. I asked you, how are you doing? That's just the truth, anyhow. We kind of skirt around the issue as if we're not living in this dark world. We try to act like, hey, everything, that we are immune, that we live in this bubble. But quite to the contrary, you and I will go through the same things that people go through in this dark world. We don't need to hide it and all that and whatever, because we can see actually through scripture in chapter 2. Oh, that looks nice. I like that. I'm going to have to bring some of this. Mark, when you come back, bring it back to Baltimore. I heard you in the Washington area a whole lot. Verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void. We see all that. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And verse 2, it painted a picture of how bad things was actually. And it just wasn't good. It was an indistinguishable ruin. It was chaotic. It was confusion. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, where the darkness was, where the confusion was, where the emptiness was, where the chaos was. God can move despite of how bad things can get. We need to stop trying to act like that we don't get the same things that everybody else encounters. It is very easy, and I think I'm going to get a chance to talk about this, to keep going through what we go through because we don't readily identify where we are. You know, we want to hide those things. You see, because darkness is known for hiding things. Darkness is known for covering things. And so you can tell when you're in that particular state because we try to cover up. You see, when you are a child of light, light reveals. It's not the will of God for us to hide things all the time. You know, the reason why, because it's God. When we hide it, God can't. And so God desires for us to open up so he can cover. Amen. I hope this is all right. You can straighten it all out when I leave. So while God's mystery is great, the mystery of godliness is great, and his vast treasures, you know, he doesn't just show it and reveal it to the naked eye, to the spectator, if you will. You don't see God's goodness on the surface just like that. It has to be searched for. But just because God is just not, you know, throwing all his goodness out for everyone to know, everyone to see. I'm sorry, we know how good God is, but the world really doesn't know. And so I understand that, but that because all of these things, God has no secret agendas. There's no proverbial hidden, tricks up his sleeve. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. He's a loving God. And I know we say that. Oh, God is good all the time. And when we're going through, we're like, oh, God, when we're on our bed and we're sick, where are you, God? Hallelujah. Can I get some amen? That's the truth anyhow. We'll come to church in delight. Everything's fine. And then we, oh, help me, Jesus. I don't want to say honesty because it implies that we're not honest, we're dishonest. But how can I say openness? Just open. I like to just sit down. I really like to be real. Can I say this? Sometimes Pentecost can be unreal. Now, hold up. I've been in Pentecost for 26, 27, almost 28 years. Man, I'm getting young. God would desire for us to keep it real because God is light. And what God did to first defeat darkness and chaos was to create a resemblance or a semblance of himself. And he spoke light into darkness. And we have to identify darkness in our lives in order to allow the light of God to shine in those dark areas. And so God conquered this misery, this hopelessness, this despair, this chaos by just speaking light. I'm here to tell you, even though there are dark situations that may come about in our life, all God has to do is to speak life into it and speak light into it. It can happen. I was talking to Brother Bishop Shaunover just okay, he was just being open. And I believe that's what God desires because light, the scripture says, shines into darkness and the darkness can't comprehend it, meaning it can't cease it. It can't overtake it. It can't overpower it. When light begins to shine into darkness, darkness does not have a chance. Amen. Now, the thing is, is that we need to, as I said, readily identify. Now, while God calls us, because we are children of the light, we're not children. Thank God for that, first of all. I'm a child of light. I was once, now some of you may have been raised in Pentecost, but I decided to come to Pentecost, and I was saved at the age of 25. And now, I lived in the world for 25 years, but I've been living for God for almost 26 now. And so now I've been on one side half of my life, and now I'm on the other side, approaching 51. So I wasn't born in this apostolic truth. I wasn't born in the light, and I was once in darkness, but God has translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And so we have a reason to rejoice and let somebody know, even if you were raised in this, hey, God has kept me in the light. God has kept me in a place where I can walk with him. We have a reason to rejoice and let somebody know this is a dark world. And the world needs to see the difference between darkness and light. The world needs to understand and know there is hope in a dark world. That hope comes from you and I as children of the light, walking in the light, walking in the love of God, and letting God allow his reflection to... Okay, I'm sorry, that brother right there. What is your name, brother? Right here, I'm sorry. Yes, me? Yeah. Mel, praise the Lord. All right, praise God. I'm just seeing faces or whatever. Have you been in Antioch before? No? No? Sorry to get off the subject or whatever. Praise God. Amen. I believe there are some people in here right now that have been in some dark situations. Can I just minister a little bit? Like I said, Brother Schoonover, it's very easy to say, no, this isn't for here. When I first came, it's been almost 3 years now, 2 or 3 years, and Brother Schoonover had invited my wife and all, just me at the time, asked you to come. See, that's why we were out of the will of God, brother. You didn't invite my wife. No. But anyway, then when that happened, and I was excited to come, and then all of a sudden, the worst period in my life came out of nowhere. I had a robust 193 pounds, and I went down to 159 pounds, and my weight had dropped drastically. The doctors could not figure out what was going on. I didn't have AIDS, thank God. And not to be, you know, whatever. But that's the first thing everyone was thinking. It was, but it was bad, and they figured out what it was and all that. But I had other things happen. My youngest daughter had fallen into sin, and it was just, you know, my wife started getting sick. At one point, it was like the whole household was just. And in our church situation, you know, the building we were in, we lost the building, and trying to find a place to call home church-wise and everything else. And it was like my whole life was in chaos and indistinguishable ruin misery and sorrow and grief and all that. And we as children of God think we don't supposed to go through that because I'm a child of God. That's how the women, yeah. I'm not a male chauvinist, but that's how, you know, and so we don't think we should, can I help somebody this morning or this evening? I see, I don't even know. I told you, I didn't know. What is it, night, evening, morning? I just woke up, so it's morning to me, okay? I did. Try to go take me a nice nap and wake up. It's like, oh my goodness, where am I? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It was crazy, but I was coming to this place. I trying to get to this place. And battling through all that and experiencing all that and. But on the throes of that, I got what I'm communicating here tonight. Is that we will have dark times. We're not called to walk in darkness. No, we're not called to live in darkness. Our lives should not be a reflection of misery and destruction and ruin. And no, we're the children of God. We're the children of light. And when the world sees us, they ought to see something that they're looking towards. They need to have something to hope for and hope. And so I'm not saying that we're supposed to live in darkness. And that word, as I said, it means not just evil or wickedness, but it also means misery and sorrow and all that. No. We don't supposed to live in that realm. However, dark times will come in my life and in your life, like it or not. They are going to come. We might as well face it. We might as well admit it. Jesus said it this way. He said, in this world, you know it, ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have tribulation. You are going to go through it. He wasn't talking to the sinner. He wasn't talking to those that didn't know him. He was talking to his church. In this world, you're going to be in this world. You shall have tribulation. He said, I'm speaking this, that you might have peace. It's not even guaranteed. I have the Holy Ghost. Hello? Can I? Peace is not a guarantee. I can have peace if I want it. You have to choose to have peace. You have to pursue, the Bible says, ensue peace. We have to pursue peace, ensue it. We have to reach out after. But guess what? Just like weeds, they're going to come no matter what. All it takes is just a little neglect. I try to grow green grass, Brother Schoonover. It's a difficult task. Weeds, no problem. So it is. In this world, weeds shall come. You shall have tribulation. You will have difficulties. Dark times, dark clouds are going to come our way. You are going to go through a storm every now and then. But be of good cheer. As the prophet Micah said, rejoice not against me, O my enemies. But when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, God shall be a light unto me. When, not if, when I sit in when I sit in darkness. Solomon said it this way. Though the days of, what is that? It's Ecclesiastes 11 and 8. I want to get it right. I know it, but my brain is fried. Ecclesiastes. But if a man live many years, I pray that's me, lest the rapture come. If a man live many years, and rejoice in them all. If you live many years and you rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you fast. You can't fast away this darkness. As long as you live on this earth, you're going to go through some dark days, they shall be many. Oh, y'all, I know. Doesn't sound like I'm preaching a good thing. Man, bro, I thought you was going to lift me up. I thought you was going to encourage. Man, that sound pretty bad. Hallelujah. Hold on. Let me get some water on that. Hold on. We're going to get there. Oh, that's some good water. Kirkland. Purified. Is this thing really pure? You got to watch that. I heard a report. You know, we believe everything we hear anyway, right? Except for when Jesus talking to us. Or the preacher. Can I do that every now and then? Let me get your permission, Bishop. No, they claim, hey, you got to watch out with the bottled water stuff. I have one guy at our church. This guy, he, I don't know what he's listening. He listens to so much stuff. I mean, he's way out there. You know, everything you drink, touch, whatever the case may be, it's, you know, it's all these conspiracy theories and all that and whatever. And I said, brother, look here. I think all that is just to distract you, to keep you from out of this book. Just read what's in the book. You'll be okay. You know? But because we are the children of God, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talkers. We're not just any old type of Christians. Man, we're tongue talkers. We are holy rollers, even though I don't really see that anymore. But we are holy rollers. I even saw that when I first came into the church. I caught a glimpse of that, you know. But I think there's still some around. But anyway, we don't feel like, you know, we should go through that. We find it difficult. Hello? Amen. You see, when I was in the world, I expected bad things to happen. As a matter of fact, my father brought me up on Murphy's Law. He said, man, you get your hopes up too high. You live by this. If anything is bad, anything bad should happen, can happen, is going to happen. You remember that. I'm serious. I'm like, oh, I'm hopeless. You know, it was crazy. So I'm glad I'm delivered from that. Now, I don't live by that, but I live by high hopes. Amen. God wants us to have great expectation. Yes, hello. Yes, amen. Yes, but we can have those great expectations, and we know how it is. Oh, yes. Boom. We fall. That's Bible, right? I'm going to talk Bible, right? Okay. You can look at your bishop every now and then, nod his head, so you know it's okay. Because I know you're watching. Did he shake his head? Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Praise God. I know how it works. I've been around, like I said, for 26 years. I know how it works. It's all good. Amen. It's really good to have fun in church, you know? Amen. Hello?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Hey, amen. It's really nice. But that is just the reality of it. We don't, somewhere in our subconscious being, we feel like we have a sense of entitlement. I shouldn't have to go through this. Come on. Man, I paid on time. I came to church early. Not here. All right. Can we agree of what transpires in Baltimore? Can we? And just by chance, if the wind of that spirit just somehow try to get in up, you know, just take and receive it. And so anyway, let me just get back to this so I'll stay out of trouble. Now, if you have never been through any dark situations, just, you know, just say, okay, that was for, you know, pull out the fan. It's for the brother. It seems like to me, Bishop, that these dark times come when we least expect it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, everything is going fine. My wife and I, we're getting along. We're like newlyweds. Lighten up. Come on. It's all right. It's okay. And then out of nowhere, you have this great service. The Spirit of God is moving. A prophetic word is spoken. That your hands were laid on your head and God confirmed something he was going to do. You thought it was just a dream. You thought it was just you. And then all of a sudden, the man of God said this and that. And it gave you a confirmation that this was from the Lord. God gave you a promise. And it right on the heels of great expectation. Or right after the prelude of prophetic promises, here comes dark times. Out of nowhere. Now, I'm going to talk. Now, I could help me out just so I don't feel like I'm in the island. Has anybody else experienced that in here? Anybody experienced that recently in here?
Amen.
Please let me know so I can just put the microphone down. I'm serious. If I'm a million miles away, well, Brother Skonov, you wouldn't. You probably, you know, obviously, they say the pastor's the last to know. I don't know about all that. But, you know, and some things. If I'm way off, please help me. But I really feel that God had given or has given this particular body. And I'm not just talking about this location. I'm talking about the whole ministry that God has called you to oversee. And as soon as there was a vision, if you will, and there was a prophetic a word or whatever, and there was something that you could see, all of a sudden a storm came, and all of a sudden dark times came. It is not coincidental that as soon as God gives us a promise, or God gives us a dream, or gives us hope, or give us something to grab a hold of, that dark times come. It's not accidental. We must understand that. Am I making sense? Am I getting through to somebody? We look in Exodus chapter 40, and Moses began to erect the tabernacle, and so he created, he made all the instruments, and then after he made all the instruments, the Bible says he began to erect the tabernacle, and he started, if you look, from the inside and worked his way outside. And so he started in the most holy place, and he got the Ark of the Covenant together, and did that, and then he put the holy place veil there, and he came from outside of there and went into the holy place, and he put up the candlestick, lit the candlestick, put the bread on the table, and lit the incense, and came out of that, and the Bible says he went to the altar, burnt sacrifice, he washed in the whatever, and then he went back past the altar, went out of the tabernacle, and all of a sudden the Shekinah glory of God fell. As soon as he began to make the place that God would abide and God would stay and God would dwell, and he would visit his people and be with his people and walk with his people and perform his will before they would enter into the promise of God, he did all that. He stepped out and stepped away, and then all of a sudden he decided to go back in, and he couldn't go back in because the cloud fell. And then you read in the account in 1 Chronicles, I think it's in, and then also in the book of Kings, chapter 8, we find that Solomon did the same thing. He built the temple, and after he finished building the temple, the Bible says that he and the ministers went to go minister, and all of a sudden, as soon as he finished and he dedicated the temple to God and he burnt sacrifices, and then he began to pray this long prayer that went on for chapters. And all of a sudden, after he did that, and here we go, God is about to move, because now we have established the perfect will and purpose of God. God spoke these things. God said this was going to happen. God said, I will commune with you right here. God said, I'm going to answer your prayers right here. God said, I'm going to do something in my people right here. And all of a sudden, again, this cloud comes down that they could not minister in the temple. They could not even stand, the Bible says, to minister in the temple. And the same thing happened to Moses. He could not enter into the tent or the tabernacle because of the cloud. And for years, as a matter of fact, up until last week, I always envisioned that I've had a couple of, just a couple, I wish I had a whole lot more, moves of God, man, where the Spirit of God hovered in the place, and it seemed like there was this mystical mist, if you will, and it seemed like my glasses would get all cloudy and foggy, and I would say, oh my goodness, this is the Shekinah glory of God. And we talk about that, and I'm serious, for all of my Pentecostal life, I always envisioned, matter of fact, we went into a house one day, my wife and I went down to North Carolina, she's from North Carolina, to pray, and if you're from North Carolina, this is a joke, God delivered her from North Carolina, brought up to Maryland. But we went back down there, and we went to this lady's house. We began to talk to her about the Lord. We began to pray for her and pray for healing and all that. And God touched her, healed her. She had so many ailments and illnesses, and God touched all those things. And I mean, that the Spirit of God moved in her little small kitchen, and it was cloudy. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, my goodness, the Shekinah glory of God. And I just found out a couple of days ago, when I read these accounts, that wasn't the Shekinah glory of God. When Moses tried to get back into the temple, the Bible says, if you can put First Kings, I think it's chapter 8, verse number 10. When Moses first entered the temple, the tabernacle, I'm sorry, he could not go back in. Because of the cloud. And it was the thick cloud. Oh, that's, you with me? There you go. Thank you. I'm sorry. Was that the right? Oh, he went to, whoa. 8, 1, 6, 6, 6, 6 you, 10, verse 10. Okay. And it came to pass, when a priest would come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Next verse. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord, and that's the Shekinah glory. Now, it appears, and I used to say, yes, they couldn't stand the minister. You know, because, they were slain in the spirit. That's what I really thought that meant. They were slain in the spirit because of the glory. When the glory of God comes, man, we can't even, woo, you know. But then I got to understand the next verse. Then spake Solomon, the Lord that said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. So what the Shekinah glory was a thick darkness that settled upon the tabernacle and that settled upon the temple where they couldn't stand. When there's a fire and there's a bunch of smoke, if you will, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get down. Because you can't see. And Moses could not go in because of this thick darkness. And the same here, this thick darkness. If that's a thick darkness, you can't minister. You can't see. And I always thought it was because it was something, you know, ooh, that was spooky. That was man, they can't even do anything. No, it had nothing to do with that. This was the Shekinah glory of God. It was thick darkness. I'm going somewhere with this. It was thick darkness, and that's why they couldn't do what they had to do. What am I saying? I'm telling you that our God chooses to dwell in darkness. That's the time we don't believe God is around. That's the time we don't believe God is with us. That's the time we believe God has abandoned us. That's the time we believe we've done something wrong. Or what is going on, God? Why me? For months and months, my body was racked in pain. All of my systems began to shut down. I had to go to a cardiologist. I had to go to endocrinologist. I saw the GI doctors. I went to go see all the doctors. I felt like that woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. She saw all the physicians. It was nothing better. And she was worse. And they took all of my money. Amen. But God was right there. The scripture tells us, is this okay? In Psalms chapter 18, he made darkness his secret place. Psalms 18:11. I will remind you, I know, literally speaking, God used darkness, and he dwelt within this dark cloud. David said it himself. God dwells in the darkness. See, we don't believe that. Oh, because God is light, right? That's all right. He made darkness. Now, as I said, literally, it's the dark. But figuratively, It's misery, sorrow, destruction. When all these things come about, if God dwells in the literal darkness, he also dwells in physical, figurative darkness. Because this way, oh, hallelujah. And this God, the God of light, and see, I used to think of it like this. This was my definition, and science, you know, science is always proven wrong. Because science only goes by the facts, but facts can limit us. See, truth is greater than facts, because what's a fact today becomes fiction tomorrow. Or non-factual. So God is truth. And the thing is, I used to say that darkness, and you can look it up, is what? The absence of light. And I was emphatic about that. I would preach that. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. And after I started studying this stuff, I said, whoa. No, it's not. The absence of light, because when God said in the very beginning, when darkness was about, he said, let there be light. Hello? And then after he created light, he divided the light from the darkness. Light wasn't always divided from darkness. And so what that tells me, light and darkness dwelt together. And then at some point, God said divide it. But also, you see, light, and I know, because we say, you know, in him, there's no darkness at all. In God, I understand that. So darkness can't be in light, but light can be hidden in darkness. And so while there's no darkness in God at all, the God of light is able to manifest himself in darkness. He's able to hide himself. He's able to cloak himself. He's able to hide his work and to hide his power and to hide his presence and to hide what he's doing. And he's right there lurking and seeking and looking. And let me tell you, the God of light is able to cloak himself in darkness. It is his ultimate disguise. It's the disguise of deity. Oh, we know when God is, when everything is going fine. Oh, praise God. We bless God. Hallelujah. But when dark times come, praise God. Most of the time. And then, you know, we get around and we get around everyone else. Bless the Lord. And so this darkness, so that back to the definition. Darkness is the absence of visible light. Not the absence of light. Because if darkness is the absence of light, when darkness comes, that means God is not around. That means God cannot be found whenever there's darkness. Because our definition says darkness is the absence of light. No. You see, light can be hidden in darkness. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us, hey, you're the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't hide your light under a bed. Hey, put it up where it can be seen. We can hide. We can cover up our light. We're the children of the light, but we can cover it up. And we're the children of God, the children of light, and he's the father of lights, and we can cover our light, God can too. And so, I'm sorry, this is supposed to be teaching, you know. And so while darkness can't overpower light, can't overtake light, we find out that this light thing can be hidden it can be obscured. You say, well, why in the world would God want to hide in dark times? And I remind you, darkness is misery and all that, because that's when people don't feel like God is around. Even we as apostles. I remember someone on a cross, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't believe he was just quoting David just to be quoting David. I believe he was expressing his human feeling, his human emotion. Even though his spirit knew God, the spirit, the Father, was right there, his humanity said, God has abandoned me. Why? Because at the hour of 12 o'clock, it was as dark as midnight. And he was in a dark time, even though he knew it was coming. So when calamity strikes, hopefully I'm making sense. When calamity strikes and trials come and stormy winds blow, I'm serious. I mean, I was saying, God, where in the world are you? God, why are you letting this happen to me? I don't understand. I had questions. I wasn't accusing God, even though we can do that sometimes. God, you don't love me. You can't possibly love me. I'm talking about us in Baltimore. You can't possibly love me. What in the world? If anybody said, what is the deal? I try to be as open and honest with God as possible because he already knows anyway.
He already knows.
Hello? Well, I could try to hide behind the cloak of religion all I want and super spirituality and all that. But God knows what's going on in here.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, he does.
You see, because this is how it works. The Bible lets us know in the book of John that the people that love darkness, they don't want to come to the light lest their deeds are reproved. But what the Bible says, we come into the light. That our deeds, that these that we do are right. That it's from God. I'm paraphrasing whatever. But the point I'm trying to make is God uses light to reveal what's going on in the hearts of those that walk in darkness. And so the only way God can show what's going on in there, a person's walking in darkness, he lets a little light shine, and then they run away because it reveals what's going on with them. But God doesn't use light to reveal what's going on in a child of God. You see, we're the children of light, so more often than not, God uses darkness to reveal what's going on in us. Because we're in the light. Hey, everything is fine. You know, you can't tell where you are when everything is going fine.
No, you cannot.
Oh, hallelujah. Let me go back here. You can't tell where you are when everything is just dandy. And we might as well just stop it. Everything is not dandy. Hello? It's good to be open and frank and whatever. Sometimes you're supposed to let the people know. You know, my wife and I, she's so sweet and all that. But we had some battles. Oh, yeah, okay. Hello? You know, we need to get out of that Disney World mentality. Living for God is not Disneyland. Amen. We're going to have to go through just like, but see the difference between us and them, that we're children of light. We're not bound by that. We're not bound by misery and sorrow and all that. We don't have to stay in that mode. We don't have to stay in that fashion. When we know darkness is coming, it's for a purpose. It's so God can reveal something that's going on. God chose to dwell in darkness. It is his secret place. It's the place where God, and the word secret, I love the word secret. It means hidden. Now watch this. This is one, it's going to get really fascinating. Let me see if I can find that. Because, see, I don't have one of those photographic memories like, you know, some people, man, they're like, my goodness, they can remember all that. Let me see if I can refine it. I think I had it somewhere. Y'all got about 30 minutes for me to find this? All right. So that's what you get for writing stuff down. There we go. So the word secret place. Now I know you already know this. Can I just entertain myself while I'm not trying to entertain you, obviously. I'm gonna entertain myself. Hopefully I'm giving you a word that's gonna and is helping somebody. And so the word secret place means hiding place. It's a cover. It's covert disguise. He made darkness his covert disguise. It's his hiding place. You see, the God of light, because he is the God of light, he can't hide anywhere else. So he chose to hide in darkness. And when dark, I'm telling you, when it's dark, nobody knows God is right there. And so he chose to use that as his disguise. And that word disguise means the modification of appearance to avoid recognition. And so no one don't, you know, we don't really realize when we're going through it, man, God is right there in disguise. God is hiding and lurking behind every dark cloud. God is piercing through. Hey, I'm right here all along. I don't see him. I don't know where he is. Job said, hey, I look on the right hand and I can't see him. I look on the left and I can't find him. I go forward. I go backward. I can't find God. And you find at the end of chapter 23 why he couldn't find God. He began to say, because darkness was not removed from my face. Darkness, I will surround him. And he said, thick darkness. And that word thick darkness means the thundercloud. When it gets pitch black, when I can't see my way. Job said, hey, it was clouds. Put Job chapter 23 in verse 17. Job 23:17. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither have he covered the darkness from my face. He said, I couldn't see God because of this dark situation. I couldn't find God because it was just too dark. I like one translation says it, because I was not cut off. Oh, here it is. Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick clouds covered my face. He said, I was not silenced because of the darkness and the dark clouds covered my face. He said, I was still able to proclaim, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And he could not see God because of the dark situations. Oh, we love this Psalms 91. We love this one. Put that up. We quote it so well. Yeah, I see somebody quoting it right now. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Oh, we just found out what the secret place was. The secret place is God's hidden place of darkness. That's no other secret place God has. And he's the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place. And he, you and I, that dwelleth, remains. You see, too many of us like to get out of, when dark time, oh, I'm getting out of this. I got to find my way out. We don't understand. God is trying to do one of two things when he allowed dark times to come in our lives. And so he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's roll with this, Brother Mark. You don't come to this part before getting to verse 1. We quote all that, but he that dwelleth in the secret place. See, we think the secret place is, oh, Jesus, Shalomah. We think the secret place is when we're on our knees praying and we're in our prayer closet and we're in a place where we feel angelic beings and God is moving and there are goosebumps on our goosebumps and we feel this is the secret place. But no, the secret place of God is where God chooses to dwell, where you don't even know he's there. Where God is moving, when you don't even recognize that he's moving. When things are so bad, you can't find God. I will say to the Lord, when I dwell in that secret place, he is my refuge. He's my fortress. We must say that when we're in that bad place, when everything is going wrong, when everything is topsy-turvy. God, you're my fortress. And my God, will I trust? Because that's the first thing God is trying to do. He's doing two things when he bring about this. He's trying to discover trust. And the second thing is uncover treasure. I'm going to get to that in a minute before I close. God is trying to discover some trust. You see, because this is you and I and God, we hide in darkness. Oh, don't try to act like you know. We hide in darkness. Hello? And God hides in darkness. We just saw that. Man hides in darkness. We saw, oh, no, hide in darkness. Well, I know the pastor knows, you know. He calls him, it's the pastor, it's the pastor. Shh, shh, cut out. What's going on? Oh, hey, pastor. We hide in obscurity, the unknown. Like things to not be known. That's why we don't want to expose things. And we don't want to bring things to light. That's hiding in darkness. You follow me, right? And so, Lord, help me here. And him will I trust. You can go on. I don't want to take up all of your time. You go on reading about the powerful things that God is expressing in that when we dwell in his secret place. And it talks about 1,000 shall fall on that right side. And it began to talk about the pestilence out at noonday and all. You know, you read about all that. All that transpires when I stay in that secret place. I wish I had the time. I don't even know what time it is. I don't even know what time you got. Man, I still have my, it says 11:15 on my clock. All right? So my time, I am in bed at 11:15. Okay? I don't know what time. I don't know what you normally go for there. I don't know what you normally do. Let me read a little bit more of that. Just read the word. Let's put the next verse. I just want to read. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. When? You can't. He's not going to deliver you if his secret place, if he's dwelling in that secret place and you come out of it, he can't deliver you from.
That's right.
Oh, next verse. He shall cover thee. All right. Keep going. Oh, back up. I'm sorry. All right. Under his wings shalt thou trust. He's trying to build up trust. He's trying to get us to trust him in these places. Next verse, and I'm going to stop right there. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, or pestilence to come by. I said one more. Nor for the pestilence that walk in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And he goes on talking once again about that secret place. And I just want to get this. Can I get to this last point of why God creates? Oh, by the way, it's God that creates the darkness. We blame the devil. You know what I mean? Now let's get this right. Let's just be open. I know you're some honest people. You are some sincere people. My wife, she sent something out to, I think, Brother Shelton. He responded, yeah, they some great people. And so I'm not just making it up. I got this from the prophet. He said, y'all some great people. Hallelujah. Bat yourself on the back. So he prophesied. So now what was that? We a lot of times we think or feel that when I'm in a bad situation, either I've done something wrong. Hello? I know. Oh. It's people in Baltimore. They feel like, hey, either I've done something wrong, or that devil is all on my back. And I can't get him off. And we either blame ourselves, or we give credit to the devil. We either blame ourselves, we take away from us, take away from who we are, take away from our place in God, and we give to the devil. We give him credit. We give him credit, and we put ourselves in a bankrupt position. We give him credit because of dark situations. But the Bible says, God says it this way, I'm the Lord. I form light and create darkness. I, the Lord, do these things. I'm the one, if I form light, oh, we know that. Oh, light is shining. We say, he's the father of light.
Sure.
Yeah, that's God. Oh, but darkness, oh, that's the devil.
Yes. That's what we do.
But he said, I form light and I create darkness. The God of light creates darkness. As I said, he creates this darkness for me to. Now, where did darkness come from in the beginning? Where did darkness come from in the beginning? Because God is light in him, there's no darkness at all. I don't believe there was any darkness in the beginning. I believe God created darkness. Why? Because the Bible said he did. He created light, he created darkness. He created darkness for the devil that sinned and lost his first estate, and for all the other beings, because they were angels, and angels of light, and God had to create darkness, an atmosphere and a dimension for them to dwell in. And then God said, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to create man who's lower than the angels, and I'm going to put him right there in your turf, and what you couldn't have, he's going to have, and he's going to be able to overcome the darkness that you're bound by. He create darkness. All right. And he creates this darkness. And so we need to stop blaming ourselves and pushing ourselves down or giving the devil credit. Maybe we need to start giving God the credit for the dark days to come in our life. What are you doing? You blaming God? No, I'm not blaming God. I'm telling you, God, the Shekinah glory. It's a dark, thick cloud. When I go through darkness, maybe that's the glory of God working in my life to do something. Why? To reveal what's going on inside of my heart. To bring about darkness to see what's really there. If I can really trust him. Because it's easy to trust God when the sun is shining. It's easy to trust God when I have a lot of money in my pocket. It's easy to trust God when my wife is smiling and she's loving on me. And when I say, what's wrong, honey? She just comes out and tell me what's wrong. Hey! I'm sorry, honey. It's easy to trust God like that. But when dark clouds come about and when there's pain that's racked my body, when my kids are acting up and I don't know whether they're going to live for God or not, when I'm going through difficult times and all of a sudden my finances dry up and people begin to look, don't you supposed to be living for God? And like Job, the friends come and shake their head and wag their heads and shake their fingers and put their finger in your face. We can say just like Job, hey, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Darkness comes about. And I'm wrapping this thing. And why would God do that? This is the first. I'm only going to ask you to put one more scripture on the screen. Brother Mark, you've been wonderful. Many as I like. One. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 3. So that's the first reason for trust. This is the second reason. He wants to discover trust. The second reason, he wants to uncover treasures. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. You see, there are some things you can only get when you allow God to take you through a dark place. You can't get them walking in the light. You can't get them when everything is fine. You can't get them when everything is dandy. But God has decided, I'm going to place some treasures and some hidden things in some dark places. And only those who's willing to go there and to stay there are going to find them. There's some things you're only going to get when you allow God to take you through those bad situations. I'm telling you what, I thank God for those 2 years of misery and sorrow and grief, because now God has put something in me. God has moved me in a place in ministry, and God is beginning to bless what we're doing in Baltimore. Not that he hasn't, but he's beginning to increase. Yes. Amen. Because of this. I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by name, am the God of Israel. See, I'm going to do that you will know. Because then when you walk out of that darkness and you're better off than you were before, when Job, all his family had died, and his children, he, unfortunately, not, the woman, don't go there. Okay, I won't go there. Just curse God and die. Well, you know what? She got silence. I guess that was a blessing in that sense or whatever, but I don't know. But it was crazy. You know, all that. But, you know, the Bible, what did the Bible say? He went in, blessed. And don't get me wrong. I don't believe blessing is, you know, has a dollar sign, you know, the S's and all that, whatever the case may be. But all that was indicative of the fact that he was blessed. Because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. I'm not talking about you're going to have a bunch of money in pocket. That's not what I'm referring to. But he came out on the other side because he trusted God, and God was able to add to. God always add to, my friends, when you go through things. There was treasures. There were treasures in that dark place that Job went through.
Yes, sir. That's true.
And so it's not a place for everyone. And I'm winding this thing really, really down. I personally believe, I'm serious. I really didn't get peace in my spirit, if I can say it that way, as far as what I should come here to minister on, not necessarily to preach or whatever, to minister on or whatever the case may be. And it was like yesterday, Tuesday morning. Whatever time that is, I'm in this warp. I don't know. It was Tuesday morning around 3 o'clock, and I woke up around 2:30, and about 3:30, I finally had peace of the direction that I was supposed to be in for these services. And so, regardless of what the natural says, I believe that there. May, even like my wife said, if it's just for one person, but maybe as a church, maybe as a body, you know, and I've seen it, men of God have come in, and they've, great men of God have come into our congregation up in Baltimore, and they've come in, and they prophesied that we had several prophets come in, and they prophesied of what God was going to do, and I got to the place, please, no more prophecies. Every time you come in with a prophecy, something happens.
Yes.
Don't prophesy. God, if you're going to do it, just let it happen. But why will God give me a word? Because he knows when he gives me that word that, hey, he's giving it to me. Let me know. It's not going to happen now, but now you need to intercede. Now you need to pray. Now you need to be in alignment, because when dark times come, you're going to need something to hold on to. You're going to need something to grab as an anchor of hope to keep you going, because when I do what I decide to do, hey, you're going to be blessed by it, but you need to understand. You're going to have to go through some dark days in order to get there. And so God normally reveals what he's going to do in the light. But we sometimes, what happens is that we get the promise in light. But as soon as, and I heard somebody preach this before, or said it this way. But then we begin to question God when we step out of light and into a dark place. And then we question that promise. Because he gave you the promise in light, don't question what God is going to do. And too many of us got promises. Too many, this church have gotten some promises, I believe, in the light. But then we have gone through maybe some dark times. And it seemed like God is about to, you know how it is. You get on the precipice or the threshold of what God is about to do. And then all of a sudden, it turns in a different direction. And you thought you were right there. All the promises God made to the church and made to us individually, you thought you were right there, and then all of a sudden a detour.
Yeah, sure.
I got a question for you as I begin to close. I don't know how you guys do it on the wings, but it really doesn't matter. It's how we're going to do it, I guess, or whatever. He said, take my liberty, so I'm going to do that. Was Calvary a bad day? Think about it. It was, from that perspective, at that day, it was a miserable day. It was an awful day. Man, the apostles' hopes were high. The Jewish nation, their hopes were high. Finally, maybe this is it. We've seen miracles for 3 years, and maybe now the kingdom of God is about to come. Hey, now he even, what in the world? He's raising people from the dead, and man, the power of God is about to happen, and he's entering into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Hey, the scripture has been fulfilled. It's about to happen. Promises in the light. The light was in the world. And all of a sudden, at 12 o'clock, noon, throughout the 3 o'clock hour, pitch darkness, the one who was promised to come and deliver them, save them from sorrow and misery and hope, all, it became even worse than it was before. They were oppressed by the Romans. Now they almost had a, it was like they had a reprieve. They could breathe, and all of a sudden, as soon as they breathed and took a deep breath, this is it, and a sigh of relief, it was snatched away from them in a moment. Out of nowhere, Calvary. It was the darkest day of man's history, but yet the greatest day of man's history. And so while it can be totally dark, God's light, his plan and his purpose can be manifested in the darkness. I want you to stand, please. I hope I didn't go too long, Brother Schoonover. I apologize if I did. That seemed to be some, I'm getting stares and looks, and I'm not saying to you something or whatever. God help me. If I'm a million miles away, I'm sorry. But you as individuals, maybe couples, maybe households, even as a church, if this is any way fitting, God has given us promises. And I want you to do this. I want you to raise your hand, if you will, if you had promises from God that hasn't come to fruition yet. Individually, I just want to know. Okay. Why don't we begin to talk to the Lord right now? I feel led right now, Brother Schoonover, I feel led just to give you the microphone. I think I'm done what I wanted to communicate. But whatever you choose to do with this and whatever, just please, brother. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. I'd like to have some musicians to come to the front. The Lord has been telling us, I know where you are. I'm aware of many situations here, and the Lord has just revealed to you in this communication, he knows exactly where you are, and you are exactly where he wants you. Would you come to this altar in acknowledgement to the Lord here tonight? Let your steps say, yes, Lord. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. You know where I am, and I'm trusting you with it. I'm trusting you in the midst of my dark situations. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, let him pour his love out over you. Let him refresh you. He knows. He sees it all.